In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful me. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have gladness in your heart. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Amen. The Lord be with you. And let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of thine only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The confessional reading this morning, the close of the commandments. I keep stressing and saying this so that people might give up the deeply rooted, wretched abuses in which everyone is still enmeshed, and so that people of all classes everywhere on earth may look only to the Ten Commandments and be concerned to follow their directives. It will be a very long time before men introduce a doctrine or a social order that matches up to the Ten Commandments, the demands which are so high that no one can fulfill them by mere human strength. He who does fulfill them has to be a heavenly, angelic person, far above all holiness of the world, and focus on them, really test yourself, apply all the strength and ability that you have, and you then will really find so much to work at that you will not look for nor pay any attention to any other works or types of holiness. Let this suffice concerning what is to be learned and taught in part 1 of the Catechism. In conclusion, we must, however, repeat the text already dealt with under the first commandment, in order to show how much effort God wants us to apply toward learning how to follow and practice the Ten Commandments. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Although, as we heard above, this appendix is attached primarily to the first commandment, it is meant to apply to all the commandments. Collectively, they all relate to it, and they should all be focused toward it. That is why I said that it should be kept before the young and impressed upon them, so that they learn and remember it and understand what it is that should urge and constrain us to keep the Ten Commandments. We should think of this appendix as being attached to each individual commandment, penetrating, permeating all of them. So far. The Old Testament, Micah, chapter 4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of our God, the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth from Zion, but the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his own vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of our Lord the God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that is afflicted. And I will make her that is halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, from henceforth even forever. So far the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, Romans chapter 15. For whatso things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we may through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who receiveth ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise ye all the Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So far the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into her mind what manner of salutation there should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So far the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith now according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And please be seated. Our sermon hymn, 66. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My sermon is based upon this morning's gospel reading, so please be seated. I believe that all of us are a little excited about Christmas. Christmas cards are beginning to arrive. Christmas music is beginning to be heard. And these do seem to do something to get us excited for Christmas. But let's not forget that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And as we all know, he is the most important part of Christmas. This morning's gospel tells us that he is the son of Mary. We've always known that. But have we really considered what that means? It means that he was truly a human being. It means that God's law, given to us and all human beings, also applied to him. And since he was sent by God, it means that his special mission here on earth was to live under that law without a single violation of it. And as the years went by, he fulfilled that purpose so that throughout his entire earthly life, he was without sin. And this is important for us to remember, because he can only be our Savior if he is truly human, living under the law of God and keeping it perfectly for us. Furthermore, he can be our Savior only if he dies as a human being. The one who takes our place must be a man, must be a human being, must be able to die. We are told the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And God is here talking to human beings, to people like you and me, who sin against him every day of our life. But now, when this judgment of God falls on us, Jesus Christ stands in the way. And he receives the full force of it. And he lets us go free. And you shall call his name Jesus, which we all know means Savior. He can be this only to us if he is truly Mary's perfect son, and that's who's coming again to us this Christmas. But St. Luke also tells us that he's the Son of God. And as Mary was tossing all of this around in her mind, how it could be possible that she could be the mother of God's son, the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, that child to be born will be called holy, because he is the Son of God." I don't understand how this could be, that Jesus could be the Son of God in the womb of Mary and be born of her. The only part that I really understand is that God worked a miracle of love for us on that first Christmas so that we could enjoy the miracle of salvation every single Christmas. You see, at one and the same time, even today, Jesus is Mary's son, true human, God's son, true God. This is mysterious, but it's true. For Jesus also needed to be true God in order that he, his perfect keeping of the law, would count for each and every one of us. And that's why Jeremiah said of him, "The Lord is our righteousness." Christ's righteousness counts for us as we stand in the presence of God. And unless we have it, we cannot stand in God's presence, nor can we ever enter into his holy heaven. Because Jesus is God's Son, true God, his righteousness is enough to count for all of us, every human being who has or will live on this earth. What an exciting gift. It came on that first Christmas, and it comes to us again and again and again, even today, this very morning. But there's more. Christ's suffering and dying was not just that of another man. It was God's Son who died. And because he was true God, his dying counted for every single person. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he died for all. And being loaded down with your sin and my sin, and the sins of the entire world, his suffering and death has infinite value. And because he was the true God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of the Most High, his death satisfied the wrath and the judgment of God, who justly punished the sin. That tells us very much about who he is. He is your Savior, and he is my Savior. Looking at us this morning, God, he can say, you're not guilty. You're clean. You're free from the punishment of your sins because I have taken them all to the tree of the cross. That's the most exciting person who could ever come on Christmas, and that's the anniversary of his birth. So let's be ready for it. But there's more. The angel said to Mary, he will be great. He was great in the sight of God. He carried out his Father's will. He opened the way for God's lost children, us, to return back to him again. He has overcome every one of our enemies. The devil is overpowered, and he's won the victory over the guilt, the punishment, and the slavery of sin, which all of us deserve. He victoriously left the grave on that first Easter, and for us has changed death into nothing more than a doorway into eternal life. Now for Mary, he came through the power of the Holy Spirit. He came in a way that to us is miraculous, marvelous, a little weird. In a way equally miraculous, he comes to us today through his word and through the sacrament of Holy Communion. He comes in ways of his own choosing. Where his gospel is proclaimed, that's where he will be, not only in this holy season, but in every season throughout our entire life. Now, Mary didn't understand it all perfectly. Let's not even begin to think that. But she accepted the message, the servant role, the fact that the Christ child was in her womb. And she broke out in song, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. See, Mary needed a Savior just as much as you and I do. But there's a bit of a note of sadness during this holy season. Because even at this moment, there are many who have never responded positively to the call of our Savior's love. Or they did at one time, but they've fallen away from the faith. I'm sure that all of us can think of someone who at one time heard and believed, but no longer does. And what an awful Christmas for them, to be stuck with nothing but Santa Claus. You see, once God used a special angel to announce his good news, but today he uses something just as special, you and me. And if the past didn't bear fruit, don't give up. May the Holy Spirit continue to work through us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Thank you.
My microphone has gone dead again. We've already received our offering. Let's rise and sing the first two verses that we give thee but thine own. We sin at all times and in all places. Give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Amen.
Amen.
You can eat, David. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given to death for all our sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith.
Thank you.
Take it easy. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was given and for all our sins. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord.
And we beseech thee that of thy mercy,
that you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward thee and a fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.